one of the things that I want us to look at is in Psalms 51, this is the passage that he identified with. Let me give you a synopsis of that chapter. I'm not trying to keep you longer. I can do it quickly. Watch me. The first part, we see David appeals to God. He asks him to wash him. The brother said, I identify with that. Is that commendable? If there's anything wrong with me, I want it to be washed. I make the statement that I'd rather God beat me down now and straighten me out than to meet him in judgment, unwashed and unstraightened. Then he acknowledges his sins, that he did it. Then he asked God to remove the sin from him. He identified with that. Are we going to be of help to him? How? I don't know how each individual is going to be of help, but I don't want you trying to help anybody in here unless you are a praying person. If all you are is a talking person, rest assured, if words could make a situation better, if words could make a person do right, it would have already been done. It has to be where God can touch the heart and bring about the revival. He asked him to restore the joy and to renew the spirit, to clean him with his hyssop. That's what David asked for. Then David says, Lord, if you do this, my promise is I'll teach sinners. I'll give praise to you. And he knows in this passage that God is the only one that can forgive sins. Now, here's my point. Do we want teachers here in Seeking Truth that are able to teach with a clear heart, with a clear conscience, because God has given his spirit to them, and that they have taken the chastisement of God to heart, so that when they teach us of God's unfathomable judgment and God's awesome wrath, that we can fear and not look at it. Don't look like you're afraid of it. Don't look like it's doing that much for you. Or would we prefer that when they tell us about God's unfathomable love, we don't say like, oh yeah, he do love because he let you get away with all kind of stuff. I know I ain't gonna do me something tonight too, or next week. What we need, what the world needs, is men that will bow the knee to God, take his chastisement, come back to the state like Manasseh, back in being charged. We'll never get to make everything right. I was talking to a sister this week, and I was telling that sister, I said, yes, Manasseh was restored. Truly he was. But the problem with him being restored was, what about all the prophets that he had killed? What about all the people that he killed? They weren't brought back to life. Somebody's daddy, somebody's brother, somebody's son, somebody's daughter, it was not brought back to life. Often when we do things that are outside of God's will, some things can't be changed. Well, Tim, I don't get that. Well, let me see if I can help you get it. Let's say if I had slapped the wrong person when I was outside of God's will and got shot in the leg, and they had to amputate my leg from the knee down. Do you think me being restored by God would make my leg grow back from the knee down? It's possible, isn't it? But isn't it highly improbable? What about Jacob? Jacob wrestled with the angel while he was still wicked, wasn't he? He was a supplanter. Had put one set of children in front of the other set of children. I'm showing partiality in my children. But after he wrestled with God, he called the angel God. And he touched him in the thigh and it shrank. Now, after Jacob got his new name, Israel, did it swell back up? Or did he limp the rest of his life? See, we need to be trying to restore each other because we don't realize what God has taken away and the damage that's being done in all of our lives while we're outside of God's will. Some of it can't be changed and turned around, because we're going to see, even if we finish Josiah today, we're going to see that with all the things that God let him turn around, God said, I'm still going to remove Judah. I'm tired of them. You saved yourself and that's all. Well, it didn't say he saved himself and that's all, but that's who the thing was addressed to. There are some people that followed him. Let's finish up right here. We all are familiar with Psalms 51, I believe. Let's look at Psalms 50 and let's taste this. This is a song of Asaph. Asaph is one of the singers, and I'm going to try to make this brief, but I do want to pull some high points out. The mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same thereof. I quoted one. It says, from the rising of the sun until the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. God's calling, he's summoning in this passage the earth and the heaven for him to speak. He comes, it says, in his majestic glory. If you all are familiar with the book of Exodus, when he came on the mountain, didn't it burn? It burned, and it was lit up, and the people were afraid, and God said they were right to be afraid. They were right. They were really right. See, God knows the heart, because it wasn't like Moses was better than them, but Moses knew how to reverence God. Moses had taken his shoes off before. He knew who God was. He had seen God's flame in the bush. Look at verse 4. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may, you see that, judge his people. He's got an audience. He's going to judge his people. So this passage is about his people and judging his people. When we're talking about his people, we're talking about covenant people. Verse 5, gather my saints together unto me that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. They have entered into covenant with me by the ritual and by the animal killing and the shedding of blood. Verse 6, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, O God, is judge himself. Selah. Just take a pause there. Verse 7, hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. Hear, my people, I will testify against thee. I got a problem with my people, this passage says. Verse number 8, I will reprove thee. Look at this. I will not reprove thee. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifice or thy burnt offerings that have been continually before me. I'm not going to reprove you for your worship. I'm not going to reprove you for the sacrifices you made. I'm not going to reprove you for the offerings and keeping in my ordinances. But he just said he's going to judge. So we need to look and see what he's going to do it for. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy folds. I don't want no more of that. I don't want no more of your he-goats. I don't want any more of your bullocks. Let's look at why he says that. Verse 10. God going to introduce himself to his majesty. I like when God talks like this. If you can't get excited when you read little passages like this in the scripture, you might not be tasting God's awesomeness when he speaks. He says, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? What he's saying in the pagan religions, they would burn sacrifices, and that was if the gods were eating. They would say they would eat the aroma, they would eat it, or they would drink the blood. And God said, I don't do that. If that was my appetite, if that's what I needed, what you got is not yours anyway. All of the beasts are mine. I know the beasts of the field. I know the fowl that dwell in the air. They're mine. I don't want your sacrifice, because your sacrifice, your worship before me has become ritualistic. You've been using your abilities. You've been using your abilities to do things, and that's been enough in the eyes of man. But now I'm judging, and then you know what I think about your worship. Look at what he says in verse number 14. Offer unto God thanksgiving. Give him from the heart. If you give God worship and it's not with thanksgiving, keep it. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows to the Most High. What have we told God? See, they had a vow to be covenant with God. Have we promised God we were going to obey him? Have we promised God that we were going to live the life that's pleasing in his sight? Have we told God that I'm going to obey your son? I'm going to be obedient to his word, just like he says in John 15:7, you're my friend if you do what I command you. Have we told God things like that and haven't done it? Because if it's true that we have and we have not obeyed what we said, then what it is, our offerings, our sacrifice, our teaching is nothing. But if we pay our vows and give the thanksgiving to God, then our worship is accepted. Next verse. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee that thou shalt glorify me. That's a prerequisite. Give God what comes from the heart. Than any offering that you give. Today we use money. Sometimes I see people to give used cars, but whatever you give will be accepted. Pay your vows to God, and it's accepted. But if you're just worshiping, if I just stand up here teaching and I'm not living the life, it's not accepted. I can just be used, as I heard Roger Owen say, as a scaffold. But look at verse 16 through 23. But thou, look at this, but unto the wicked. Now remember, he's talking to his covenant people. He's bringing his covenant people together to judge. So this is still part of his covenant people. The first part we're dealing with are those that want to do righteous. Now to the wicked, he says, God says, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, that thou should have take my covenant in thy mouth? God is saying to the wicked, if a man confesses I'm not doing God's will, I'm not doing what I should do in my home, I'm not talking to my wife like I should, I can't even sing if God is satisfied. Is God satisfied with me? He has declared before the assembly that I'm wicked. I am wicked before God. I am unjust. I'm unrighteous. I'm filthy in his sight. Did he say with his own mouth, my righteousness is as filthy rags? He said that. Now, when I repeat it, I'm not being hard, I'm being factual. When we know that we are wicked and our righteousness is as filthy rags before God, and we confess it before the people, and the people don't seem to care, what good are the people in the assembly? They are no help to me. None. And I'm under the penalty of judgment. But I've laid it out there before you. With your help, with God's help, I can move to repentance as if this never existed. Look at what else it says in verse 17. We'll read 16 and 17 together. Get this. But unto the wicked, God saith, what hast thou do to declare my statutes, or thou should have take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee? That doesn't just apply to the brother, but if you can stand and say, I'm not doing God's will, I'm not doing it in my home, I'm not doing it in my job, I'm not doing it with my children, I'm not doing it in my relationships, I'm just not what I should be, I'm not even worthy, I don't even want to sing, is God satisfied with me? In action, haven't you not cast God's word behind your back? It's easier to teach it than it is to live it. And God said, I judge. If we are discerning people and seeking truth, if it's us doing the same thing, we've cast his word behind our back, and we're in the same position. Maybe some more of us need to confess. But God said, what do you got my words in your mouth and you're not living it for? Don't you meet people that talk about praise the Lord, hallelujah, I'm blessed, and you see how they live, and you're just like, you call to speak to somebody on the telephone, you got to hear how blessed and praise the Lord, and then you know how they live? Isn't that an abomination? Look at verse 18. When you saw the thief, thou consentest with him and have been partaker with the adulteress. When you saw a thief, you consented with him. You didn't really tell him he was wrong. And you have been a partaker of the adultery. Now, what happened is, if you were not a partaker of those that shared in physical adultery, remember he's talking about Israel, they would serve other gods. That was adultery. You've been a partaker. Now, what happens is, when you see a thief and you partake of what he has, you take his stolen goods, or you get something from somebody that you're supposed to pay and you don't pay it back, you are a thief. A thief. It don't matter if it's me, you, him, or anybody in here. If you get something from somebody and you say, I'm going to pay it back, I'm going to make it good, and you don't, you are a thief, and this is what the way God sees it. If we got another way to serve God, I don't care if it's New Age, I don't care if it's Hinduism, I don't care if it's positive confession. God does not teach positive confession. You get what you want. God teaches that the earth is mine. You make supplication to me, and if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Verse 19 says, thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. When a brother can tell you, I speak to my wife in ways I shouldn't, and I'm saying things I shouldn't, he falls into this category, and we need to pray for that brother. And if we're doing the same thing, the best way to make sure we talk to people right is we need to think right. Because after a while, you keep thinking of somebody as a this, that, and the other. One day, Andy Griffith said one of those greasy words will slip out. I don't know if you all remember Andy Griffith. He said one of those greasy words, like, bloop. And there it is. It's out there. And it says, you gave your mouth to evil. Your tongue frames deceit. In other words, I might not just straight lie to you, but I'm going to deceive you. I'm going to say something and do another. I'm going to fix it like that, and then it's going to be okay. But my tongue frames deceit. I might not tell you that I'm not going to pick you up, but I say, well, I think about it. I'll pray about it. And you know I ain't coming. That's deceit. That's a lie. And God is against that, and he's judging that. He says, number 20, thou sittest and speaketh against thy brother. Thou slandereth thine own mother's son. The wicked will slander their own brother, brother in the Lord in covenant, or his brother in God. Now, if someone say, I'm slandering somebody right now, then you're not in the scripture. I'm in scripture right now. But you'll slander your brother because you don't like what he said, because you don't like what he did. But is the brother telling the truth? Is the brother trying to help? When you reconstruct the building, you have to tear out what's bad. Sometimes you have to go and tear out the whole foundation and build it back up. Sometimes you may be lucky and just be able to replace a window. You slander your brother. You upset with him? Because he told you the truth. This is what the wicked do. You slander your own brother in covenant, and even down to it, I'll slander my brother in blood. And God knows there are so many families where the wife slandered the husband, husband slandered the wife, brother slandered the sister, sisters, just slander. As if God doesn't care. We're the people of God. The Bible says love works no ill to his neighbor. Charity, love edifies, it builds up. If I say something to you that you don't like and it's hard, and if you can prove I'm not wanting to build you up, then put me in check so I can make my confession, so that I can remove from judgment and move to repentance. Let's look at the next verse. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence, and thou thoughtest I was altogether such as one as thyself. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. The brother said one of the reasons we keep doing stuff is because sentence against the evil work is not speedily executed. Therefore, the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. I believe that's Ecclesiastes 8 and 11. God said, you think when you know my word, when you say you in covenant with me, when you will cast my word behind your back and live like you want to in the marketplace, in the home, wherever you go, and you think I'm like you. You think I'm wishy-washy like you. You think I play like you do. You think my words don't mean what they mean when I say it, like yours. You think that I would just put up with stuff like you do. You think that I won't execute judgment because you don't execute it on yourself. Remember, the Bible tells us we judge ourselves, we don't have to be judged. You think I'm just like you. But you forget who I am. I come down in fire before heaven and earth. I execute judgment so that people will know. And you thinking that I'm all like you because the time I've given you should have brought you to repentance. And you played me. And you thought I was altogether like you. And when God starts talking like that, you ought to start quivering in your heart. You ought to get like you ought to get like Josiah. You ought to get like the man in Isaiah that trembles at his word. He says, "Now consider this. Now ponder this. Now think about this. Now," as Rich Lee said, "meditate on this, muse about this. You that forget God." See, in God's estimation, that's the one that counts. "You forgot me when you cast me behind your back." You can still talk and tell other people about me, but in action, you've forgotten about me, because in works, you deny me. First, I think it's Titus 1 and 16. You can profess God with your mouth and deny him in your action. "You that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces." I was looking up those words on the computer, and it showed the picture of how a lion or something just tears another animal and just ravages it and just rips it into pieces. "Lest I tear you into pieces and there be none to deliver." Let's read these two verses together without me saying a word and see how it sounds, how it flows. "These things thou hast done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest I was altogether such as one as thyself. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, you that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver." The confession that this brother made, if you understand the scripture, that's what's imminent right here, for him to be torn into pieces. He has family, he has children, he has a wife. If his wife is in the same position, same thing. If I'm in that position, the same thing. This is what God says about his judgment. "When it hadn't come on you yet, and you think I'm like you, I just let it slide. I'd get around to it. I procrastinate." God, no. God's patience supposed to lead us to repentance. But if that confession bring about the right accountability with us and with him, look at what we can help deliver him from, his children and his family and ourselves. Because there's probably somebody else in the same position that just didn't stand up and confess. Oh, yes, it is. And if it's not there, I'm sure when somebody listened to it on the web, there's somebody in that position right now. Because this brother didn't say, "I was cheating on my wife." He didn't say, "I shot somebody and killed somebody." This brother has enough insight to understand that there are other particulars in God's word that I know of that I'm not living up to. And he picked 51st Psalms, and it just happened that 50 is right before it. Look at the last verse. Here's some hope. Here's some hope, saints. "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me." Not the kind of praise that just with your mouth. "Whoso offereth praise that lifts and exalts my name with their mouth and their lip and their life, and to him that ordereth his conversation," that's an archaic word, that's a King James word, that means manner of life aright, "will I show the salvation of God." If this brother orders his life according to God's word and offer up God's praise in his life and the way he conducts himself, this person, God said he will show his salvation. Then wouldn't we be proud to have him to speak for us? Then wouldn't we be proud to speak for ourselves when we get the salvation of God? Are we able to deal with real issues and seeking truth? Or all we can do is go through, learn the history, and that's it. Are we willing to walk the walk, talk the talk, and be what God would have us to be? Are we? Father, I just thank you for your blessed word. It wasn't the easiest message that I've ever given, but you laid everything on the table. And all I had to do was put it in the dish and serve it. Lord, let me not fail to take apart and eat myself. Let me not fail to drink myself. Let us all partake and eat and drink of what your word has to say. And as the brother said last week, judgment must begin in the house of God. Father, if it begins with us and we straighten ourselves up, we will be able to turn transgressors to you. Help us, we pray, in the mighty name of the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus. Amen.